Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here in the keeping it positive, got to do that. Here, PN Upstate, awesome to have you with us. Thanks to everyone for taking part. Boost your billboard campaign at 425 today, where we allowed messages from any person, any local businesses, any individually owned businesses, any PSAs. People wanted to get out there to share with the great people in the upstate here today. Tons of participation on that. Very, very appreciative of that. We have heard from Lawton Swan at Clemson Sports Talk today, looking a little bit at the problem areas for the Clemson football team in the 2020 season, as well as J.C. Sherbert joined us on how much recruiting has changed over the last few years. It is time right now to do a little ditty that we call the top five. And Tim Holcomb, the top five at five, starts right now. The beloved Doris Burke has tested positive for the COVID-19 virus. She is now doing much better, but she had gone dark for a while, and she says between March 14th and March 17th, between a Saturday and a Tuesday, she was so exhausted she couldn't be up on her feet for 5 minutes or more at a time. Think of the poor people in New York City that think they have this, that are standing for 5 hours in line just trying to get a test. She couldn't be on her feet for 5 minutes. She was that tired from this earlier on. I guess, folks, you know, and I try the best I can to take the politics out of this because, frankly speaking, I'm in the middle on so many things, right? But there are a couple things that are bothering me about this. Whenever people report the fact that the cases in the United States are blowing up like wildfire, people say the one side jumps back at you and says, stop fear-mongering. The cases are increasing because the number of tests that we are that people are having are also increasing. Testing is increasing. Well, no kidding. But does it not alarm you, the number of cases we have? I mean, look, just testing does nothing. The fact that we have so many positive cases, the fact that this thing is doubling every 3 days, folks, that's not fear-mongering. That's being accurate. That's giving you facts. You can't blame people. You can't say fear-mongering when someone gives you facts, okay? This thing on Sunday had 32,000 cases in the States, and I tracked it at that point because I said they're saying it doubles every 3 days. Guess what it was exactly 3 days later? 64,000. Guess what it is right now? Okay, 2 days after that, we've just crossed over 100,000 cases in the United States. Folks, this isn't fear-mongering. If we don't take steps right now to slow this, if we don't slow the progression, guess how many cases we'll have in this country a week from Monday? You ready for this? Over 1 million. If the rate of spread does not slow down, okay? Yeah, testing kits are great. Testing kits help you deliver positive tests, which help you to treat the virus. But there's that many positive cases out there. That should alarm you. The other thing that grabs me is this. I've actually heard people say, smart people say, that if there aren't a million deaths in this country, that people need to apologize for shutting down our society. No, 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 no. If there aren't a million deaths in this country, it will be directly because of the measures we've taken to prevent the spread of the virus. Chicken and the egg, ladies and gentlemen, open your eyes to that reality. We are taking the precautions we're undertaking right now to prevent 1 million deaths from happening. Okay? So it's not the big of a deal after all 4 months from now. This already is a massive deal. Okay? But the only way that we prevent this from being completely and totally catastrophic is we adhere to the measures of the medical experts and the epidemiologists and what they're saying right now. Don't be doubt the world guy. Don't be that guy. You know, my heart breaks and I'm very sad, but there was a pastor out of Virginia who called the COVID-19 virus mass hysteria when it first came out. He died this week of COVID-19. It's incredibly sad. Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy that needs one of your family members to pass away from this before you realize the severity of it. Don't be that guy. Next up. At number four today, Jim Sherbert joined the show earlier today, and we talked about how the recruiting game has changed over the years, all the many different ways that it's changed. And folks, you know, those coaches who are up to speed with the latest technologies, with the Snapchats, with the Instagrams, those coaches that are comfortable with text messages, they have a leg up. So I asked JC, who are the best three recruiters in the college game today? And here's what he told me. One, two, or three. If there's a five-star recruit out of the state of Montana, who can go to Montana and get him? Here's what he told me. In no particular order, Ed Orgeron, Dabo Swinney, and Mac Brown. Now, I've met Dabo Swinney. I've met Mac Brown. I've never had a chance to meet Ed Orgeron. As a matter of fact, I think I met Mac Brown when I used to work with Rob Brown back in the Florida Panhandle, the new host of our midday show. I think we interviewed Mac Brown together, believe it or not. And he was the nicest guy you've ever met in your life. Was incredible, right? Dabo Swinney, infectious personality, sells family, sells faith, right? Ed Orgeron, boy, in Cajun country, people are buying what Ed Orgeron is, in fact, selling, right? But those three guys, according to J.C. Sherbert, are America's top three recruiters. They can go anywhere. They can get anybody because of their personality, because they're up to speed with technology, because they are expert communicators. And I thought that was really interesting. Next up. Today, Kirk Herbstreit with the doomsday scenario of all doomsday scenarios. And if he's right, then he's right. And ladies and gentlemen, we can't let that happen. You see, earlier this week we had a contest. We said, tell me the day, tell me the date that we're going to have live sports again. And we took dates from all over the spectrum. Patrick Brown, producer that day, said April 29th. But Rob Brown was way on the other end, was way off the reservation. He said October 15th. I said August 1st. Our guest Wendy Dees said Labor Day, early September. Was Rob Brown the most accurate of all of us? Kirk Herbstreit today came out and said that he would be shocked if there is a college football season this year. Or an NFL season this year. This is a direct quote. I'll be shocked if we have NFL football this fall, if we have college football. I'll be so surprised if that happens. Just because, from what I understand, people that I listen to, you're 12 to 18 months from a vaccine. I don't know how you let these guys go into locker rooms and let stadiums be filled up and how you can play ball. I just don't know how you can do it with the optics of it. Kirk said if he was the NFL commish or in charge of the NCAA, he would shut it down ASAP. He says, next thing you know, you got a locker room full of guys that are sick, and that's on your watch? I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want to have that. As much as I hate to say it, I think we're scratching the surface of where this thing is going to go. You know, he says, and as much as people want teams to be ready to get going and playing as soon as possible. He says you don't all of a sudden come up with something in July or August and say, okay, we're good to go, and you turn them loose. It takes time, preparation. It takes a lot of time to get the team ready. Have you begun to digest the possibility that we have seen the very last game of Trevor Lawrence with the tiger paw on his helmet? Because, you see, you're allowed to declare for the NFL draft. You are allowed to declare after 3 years removed from high school. If there's no college football season, Trevor Lawrence can declare. I'm not ready to process that yet. I'm not ready to digest that yet. I'm still depressed about no March Madness. I'm not ready to get to this point yet. But here are the physics. Here's the science behind this, all right? They're saying that the virus is likely to die down quite a bit over the summer when it gets warmer. Then they're saying the virus is likely to come back a bit in the fall when it's cooler again. Do you move the football season up to the summer for a safe zone? You can't do that. You can do that with the NFL. You couldn't do that with college football because of the whole student athlete farce, right? But the prayer is that by the time the fall rendition of the coronavirus hits us again, I hope and pray that we either have a vaccine at that time, we're able to bypass this 12 to 18 month waiting period for vaccines, and or we have viable treatment methods that have been proven accurate at that time. You know that there's this hydroxychloroquine and the Z-Pak trial that they are doing. There is an antibodies trial where people have already had the virus, that blood can be taken from them, injected in very sick people, and hopefully the antibodies within their blood can help the very sick patient fight off COVID-19. I'm hitting you with some hardcore medical stuff right now, right? I am. But I'm doing that on purpose because that's what's required in order for us to get back to our lives again. You see, those who compare this thing to the regular flu are so off base. It is far more serious than that. But see, if we get it back, if we get the mortality rate down to the rate of the flu, the mortality rate of the flu is 0.01%. That's one every 1,000 people dies, right, from the flu. One out of every 1,000 people passes away. The rate of the coronavirus globally is one out of every 25 people passes away. The rate domestically is three people for every 200 cases pass away. 1.5% in this country, right? We need to find treatments for this to get this down to the flu rate of mortality. 1 in 1,000 deaths. If we're successfully able to do that between now and the fall, we could, in fact, have a football season. And that would make everybody happy. Next up. At number two today, I have a concern for the Carolina Panthers. What happens in college football? Everybody tells you and the team all summer long, this is the game, this is the trip-up game for Clemson. This is the Clemson chokes on this year. This is what they have to watch out for, that if they're not ready to play, can bite them. What happens is you keep talking about that, and it ceases becoming the sleeper game. The sleeper game you never think could wind up in an upset, right? Well, the Carolina Panthers are dealing with something similar right now. They want Isaiah Simmons. They should want Isaiah Simmons. Folks, I've got a little tidbit of information for you. My opinion, Isaiah Simmons is the very best player in the draft. The very best player in the draft. And for Carolina to get him at 7 would be nuts. Here's the problem. Every single mock draft you look at has the Panthers taken Isaiah Simmons with a 7th pick. So what does that tell you if you're another team who might pick below 7 that's interested in Isaiah Simmons? Everybody has Isaiah Simmons pegged to Carolina almost to the point where they're going to have to trade up now to get him. Because someone else, everybody knows he's going 7th to Carolina. If he's your guy, you're not going to get him if you wait until 7 to get there. You are not going to get him, ladies and gentlemen. And so the Carolina Panthers have to be very wary about that. He is the ideal replacement for Luke Kuechly. He is the ideal versatile linebacker in today's day and age. And unfortunately, the cat's out of the bag in terms of what Carolina wants. Really, really unfortunate. And finally, you know, it's really interesting for me to see the dichotomy between how the NFL is handling its business and how Major League Baseball handled its business yesterday. The NFL came out and said, we are holding the draft next year. Now, I could go without the theatrics of Roger Goodell threatening people, threatening league members if they talk down upon holding the draft right now. I think we're going to need the draft. I think the draft is going to be chicken soup for our soul 1 month from now. Don't you think we're going to need that? Don't you think we're going to love it? We don't need to see the players. You know, we need to see the cards. We need to know who's going to be added to our teams. We don't need all the pomp and circumstance of what Nashville did last year. We just need the NFL draft. Give us the NFL draft to the best of your ability. But Major League Baseball came out yesterday with the most tone-deaf slogan you can consider. Hashtag. So, this straight. The NFL on the same day tells us we're having the draft as scheduled, and Major League Baseball rules us the opening day at home. How are we exactly supposed to celebrate opening day at home, Major League Baseball? But by knowing that the Atlanta Braves, the most popular team in our area, is potentially World Series bound, and we may not even have a season? Like, how are we supposed to celebrate exactly opening day at home? Hashtag opening day at home. One league gets it. One league does not. Both leagues in the mid-1980s had ratings for their preeminent events of 25, which is a massive number. What's happened since then? The ratings for the World Series are down to a 7 or an 8 most years from 25. The ratings for the Super Bowl have now exceeded 25. Used to be, if you remember back in the day, if you're like me, 40 years old, and I shaved 2 years off my age there. But if you're like me in your 40s, you remember back to the day where baseball was on par with the NFL. And stuff like this, the tone deafness, is exactly why they've fallen by the wayside. Five, now it's your chance to chime in, which you can do any number of ways. 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. The text line is there for you at 71307. Simply start your text with the word ESPN and away you go. Twitter is there for you as well, where our policy is if you are following us, we'll get to your tweets live and on the air. At ESPN Upstate, at Mark Ryan on air. That's at M-A-R-C Ryan on air. And finally, you may email the show. Mark Ryan, M-A-R-C Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. Your texts, your tweets, your calls on the top five at five. Plus, the stipulations by which Major League Baseball would be ready to come back to play is what we'll get to when Offsides continues. Right, we are ESPN Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's ESPN Upstate. Baseball and the MLBPA have agreed on stipulations for the return of the 2020 season, right? What will it take for them to come back? And all sports are talking about, are having these closed-door conversations right now. The NBA and Adam Silver are basically trying to figure out if there's a way they can play the season inside a bubble, right? Can they make sure that every player that's playing is COVID-free? And can we play in empty gymnasiums? And can we find rural parts of the country where we can keep our players away from everybody, televise the games, have only essential people in the audience, media, broadcasters, etc., and keep everybody healthy and safe and away from everybody else? If you look at the map of where COVID has blown up, right, it's all where there's a ton of people, right? It's in it, like Mardi Gras, New Orleans. Gosh, like, I don't know if we should have known more than to have Mardi Gras at that particular time. I don't know, unless it was already really bad, if anyone would have listened anyway. By the way, a check on our text line. Texter says, I will always be that guy that doubts the numbers of COVID, and that is just incredibly disappointing. Another texter says, taking the antibodies from people to save others sounds like the movie The Maze Runner. That's a texter. That's a fantastic movie, isn't it? The Maze Runner. I mean, that is old school entertaining. You seen that, Tim? The Maze Runner?
I have not, actually. What is it about?
These people are stuck inside of a maze, and they have to get out of the maze to save their lives, right? Yeah. And it's insane. It's really, really interesting. But to this texter's point, look, you've got to, this whole thing feels totally surreal. You know, at least two or three times a day, I'm telling people, this whole thing feels like a movie to me. We're walking around saying to people, do you know anyone who has the virus, right? And it's, thank God, people that get the virus, that what becomes of them does not look like the show The Walking Dead, but The Walking Dead not wanting to be tone deaf and realizing the premise of their show has canceled their season finale or postponed it until sometime next year, which is a very wise thing to do by them. But yeah, I mean, like, texter saying, okay, this therapy you mentioned, Mark, this potential treatment for it sounds like from the movie The Maze Runner. This whole thing feels like that. This whole thing feels like a level of unreality that I never could have envisioned for all of us, right? And, you know, much like I felt like when we have all these shootings around the country, right, and when I share with you how disturbed I am that it feels normal now to be talking about school shootings, that they've happened so regularly that it almost doesn't even seem like a big deal anymore, and it always should be a big deal. I also don't want to be the guy that says 2020 is the worst year ever, and what I don't realize is that in 2023, something far worse may be coming down the pike. You never know, right? You never know. That is why it's important for all of us to find joy in every single day, right? Like, what can you enjoy out of every single day? In every single day, what can you do that's good and kind to yourself, right? Good and kind for you. How can you be good to you right now? How can you find enjoyment in today? I do know that Ozark Season 3 is coming out tonight. Are you an Ozark watcher, Tim?
Wow, I do not know a lot of these shows.
Tim, are you anything watcher, Tim?
I am, but I must not be cultured or something. My goodness, what is this about?
What is Ozark, ladies and gentlemen, my producer says? Ozark is probably one of the most popular shows on Netflix right now. A guy gets involved in, it's similar in theory to Breaking Bad, but a guy gets involved with people he shouldn't get involved with, in an effort to help his family, and then his family is put through the grinder trying to stay safe and trying to hide, and it's really intense. But listen, Tim, I love you. We got to get you watching some of these shows that everybody's watching. You understand?
Yeah.
We got to get you up to speed here, son.
I agree. I mean, I've got some time this weekend. You give me a list, I'll go through and watch them.
Tiger King, Ozark, those two, you're good. Okay, you're good. Tiger King, Ozark, Stardom, let me know what you think. All right, so the Major League Baseball says, as part of the agreement obtained by ESPN's Jeff Passan, the players in Major League Baseball primarily agreed that the 2020 season will not start until each of the following conditions are met. Number one, that there be no bans on mass gatherings that would limit the ability to play in front of fans. However, the commissioner could still consider the use of appropriate substitute neutral sites where economically feasible. Okay? Number two, there are no travel restrictions throughout the United States and Canada. Right now, the border to Canada is closed. Number three, medical experts determined that there would be no health risks for players. Are we ever going to get there? No health risks for players, staff, or fans? Were the commissioners and unions still able to revisit the idea of playing in empty stadiums? I don't know that there is going to be a time where there are no health risks for players. Unless you've eradicated the virus to zero, how can you say that? You know, China is getting back to their old way of life. First case in China in November, getting back to normal life in March. First case here in the States in January. That would mean beginning to get back to normal life in June if we are as well behaved and, you know, taking some of the same measures that the Chinese took to get rid of this thing, right? That would mean we might be getting back to normal life in June, maybe. But we've got to listen to the medical experts here. So I think for the most part, Major League Baseball is on point with a lot of this. You know, the stipulations that would be required for them to play again. I just want them to have some street smarts here, man, and realize that their fan base is hurting and realize that hashtagging everybody with opening day at home is a way to get a bunch of people mad at you. I mean, you already have a farce of a World Series champion in 2017, the Houston Astros. You already have that black eye. It's time for baseball to get with it, man. You know, the NFL, I heard Charles Barkley say this the other day. You know, he said the NFL is clearly number one, and he's an NBA guy, paid to talk NBA with TNT, right? Charles Barkley. He says it's so obvious to see why the NFL is number one, far and away number one. They get it. There, you know, and in an era, in a time frame where there are no sports, we have been buoyed in the sports media by all this NFL news coming out. We're going to do NFL free agency. We're going to hold the NFL draft. You know, who are you to say we shouldn't do that right now? It's giving people a necessary escape. We absolutely should be doing this right now. All right. Coming up next on the show, we are going to get to a new segment that's very, very simple. We call it Who's Better? And that's next. This is Offsides right here on ESPN Upstate. All right, it's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you. Friday edition of the show rolling your way until 7 p.m. on this beautiful Upstate evening. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful, Tim, out here today, man. The sun is out. You got, what, high 70s, low 80s temperatures? I got the window open right now, broadcasting to the whole complex. It's amazing, man. Love it. Absolutely love the climate here, man.
Yeah, I know. I wish the windows in the studio here could open because I wish I could enjoy some of it. You know, it just looks absolutely gorgeous outside. And I'm glad I get to wear shorts for the first time.
You know, it's funny. We've been having kind of studio wars with the Rob Brown Show about this, right? So what happened was Diesel does this thing where he opens the studio door. Because inside the studio, it can get a little bit stuffy.
Right.
But they just moved my office over to their side. And if he opens the studio door, I can't prep the show because I'm just hearing Rob screaming the whole time. Right. Mm-hmm. And look, I understand I'm a screamer, too. Right. So I'm not just putting this on Rob. So I talked to Diesel. I said, Diesel, I need you guys, if you can, I'll do whatever you need. I'll buy you an industrial-sized fan, but I just need you to keep the door closed, right? Because otherwise, it's too loud for me to – I can't hear myself think, right? So
– Understandable.
So now, with me doing the show from home, I guarantee you that studio door is open the whole time, right? I don't even have to think. It's like – you know, it's like if you're – If your parents aren't around, do the kids behave or not? Right? No, right? Mm-hmm. Did I ever behave when my parents weren't home? Not a once, right? Don't watch TV, Mark. You're grounded from TV. They go to the store. They go to church. Guess what I'm doing? right? TV. Every single time, right? Every single time. So let's do this little ditty that I'm calling Who's Better? And it's just a very simple question, very self-explanatory. Here we go. Who's better, Tim, Zion Williamson or Chris Bosh?
Ooh.
Chris Bosh in his prime.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to go with Zion Williamson just because that dude is such a physical freak. I'd take Zion Williamson all day.
You would take Zion Williamson of today
yes.
over Chris Bosh in his prime.
Yes, it may sound easy, but I love Chris Bosh, especially when he was with the Heat and the Big Three. But if you're just giving me one player, I'm definitely taking Zion.
I agree. Zion Williamson over Chris Bosh, even in Chris Bosh's prime. Zion Williamson, size, strength, speed, athleticism, combination we've never seen before. Who's better, Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields?
Ooh, now this one, coming into the season, I'd have told you Trevor Lawrence all day, just like anybody else would. But Justin Fields had a season before the bowl game against Clemson where he had 40 touchdowns and one pick in a pretty good and all about defense conference. So I'd have to go with Trevor, man. I that kind of homer in me, that the Clemson side, I would take Trevor Lawrence. Give me T-Law.
I will take Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields right now is a better player than Trevor Lawrence. I think the numbers back that up. I think the finalist for the Heisman backs that up. I think Trevor Lawrence needs to come up to Justin Fields' level and or pass Justin Fields. But, you know, to me, it was evident and obvious last year that of among the four playoff teams, Trevor Lawrence was no better than the third best quarterback. You know, I think Trevor and Jalen Hurts is close, but I'll give Trevor the nod. Justin Fields, Joe Burrow, easily ahead of Trevor Lawrence in terms of level of play, not in terms of projection, not in terms of skill set. Look, Carson Wentz is a much better player than Nick Foles, much better talent. But you can't argue that Philadelphia played better when Nick Foles was in there. Some things can't be explained. Next up, who's better, Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson?
Ooh, both of them like to get out of the pocket a little bit, and I love that in a quarterback, but I love Russell Wilson because he can beat you with both his arm and his legs. So give me Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson is better than Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, and let me tell you where Russell Wilson is better than Aaron Rodgers. He's better than Aaron Rodgers on all of the things you can't measure. He's better than Aaron Rodgers on leadership. He's better than Aaron Rodgers with likability. He's better than Aaron Rodgers at galvanizing his team. Aaron Rodgers' personality is a little bit aloof, right? He's a little bit by himself. People have said he's a little bit arrogant. Wilson is a team guy. The team loves him. The team loves playing with him, playing for him, right? He's so positive. Aaron Rodgers can be a little bit negative. You know, I think you can see that on the field sometimes. You know, Aaron Rodgers kind of rolls his eyes at his teammates sometimes, you know, and comes off as condescending to a lot of his teammates. Russell Wilson, you never see that from. You know, and Russell Wilson, because of who he is, realize what we give him the benefit of the doubt on. We give Russell Wilson the same benefit of the doubt that we gave Mariano Rivera. And you know what they're both guilty of? The most cardinal sin in all of sports, both of those guys. Both of those guys single-handedly lost their team the most important game. Mariano Rivera blew Game 7 against the Arizona Diamondbacks in 2002. Blew it. He took the mound with a one-run lead in the bottom of the ninth inning, and the best closer ever couldn't get it done when it mattered the most. Now, that's one instance. He got done many other times. Russell Wilson, 2-yard line against the New England Patriots, throws a pick to Malcolm Butler, whole game's on the line. No, it's not. Just turn around and hand it to Marshawn Lynch. That's not his fault at all, right? But he did throw that pick in the most important time of the game. Incredible to see, incredible to consider, but give me Russell Wilson. Who's better? Discussion as well. 71307. Just start your text with the word ESPN and away you go. via the Twitter as well, at ESPN Upstate, at Mark Ryan on air, M-A-R-C, Ryan on air. Who's better, or Derek Jeter?
Ooh, I'm going to go with Derek Jeter just because I like him more. I look at A-Rod, and I'm just like, I see Jeter. I see almost as bad as the Astros. You know, again, he made amends for it and everything. He's apologized, but I still – Derek Jeter is a class act. Some people like to think what he's doing in Miami. You can't bring that in. Just him in New York and his history, you know, 3,000th career hit, came on a home run. And it's just, and then his final moment in the Bronx was a walk-off single that gave everybody goosebumps. And he was just more likable. And just overall, I liked him better. I mean, so give me Derek Jeter.
It's not about who you like better. It's all about who is better, right? And so
but this, one cheated, stat, one didn't.
Yeah, the stats would tell you Alex Rodriguez is better. But I agree with you, Tim. Derek Jeter is better. Because to any statistic, stats are like bikinis. They show some things, but sadly not all. To any statistic that you could post here on this argument, right, I would raise you with the following. Who do you want at the plate in the bottom of the ninth when you need a hit? Who can you rely on? Who's the leader of the team? Right? Alex Rodriguez, you know, if you go through his stats over the years, so many of his home runs came in non-clutch situations. Team is down 8 runs, team is up 8 runs, Alex hits a home run, right? But what is he doing when you really need him to come through? Who could you always rely on to come through? You know, the Derek Jeter play in which he runs up the foul line against the A's when the Yankees are down 2-0 and intercepts a ball that was going to be way wide right of the catcher and flips it to Jorge Posada for the out. The Yankees win that game by 1 run, come back to win the series 3-2. That is the most heady, best overall baseball play I think I have ever seen, and a play that almost no one else would have the presence of mind to even attempt. No one wants to be the bad guy that makes the mistake and bobbles the ball, but Derek could see it. We're not going to get this guy at home plate. I've got to do something about this. And finally, James Harden or Stephen Curry?
Oh, Steph Curry, for sure. One guy will willingly pass it, the other guy won't. You know, and he'll get to 50 points, but he won't take 50 shots to do it. James Harden will.
James Harden is the best offensive player in basketball. The best offensive player in basketball. Steph Curry, I would take Steph Curry because what he lacks in defensive ability, his skills. I mean, what are his skills, right? He's the best shooter we've ever seen. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also got incredible ball handling ability and an elite, a savant level basketball IQ, right? I mean, his basketball IQ is insane. Like a LeBron James, he can see plays two or three seconds before anyone else does. And you see things from Steph Curry that you've never seen on a basketball court before. Never seen before. All we're coming your way. 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN. You're with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. It's great. Positive in every single thing we do. You know, the feedback on the TV bit that I did with WYFF News earlier this week. I'm floored at the number of people who saw the feature. It was all about what sports media personalities are doing to deliver a quality product in the absence of live sports, right? What are you doing? How are you delivering a quality product to your audience in the absence of live sports. And it was a lot of fun to be a part of that. It really was. If you haven't seen it, that particular feature, it is on my Twitter feed, Mark Ryan on Air. And it's a few tweets down. You'll see I posted a link to the feature, 3 minutes on News Channel 4 the other night in Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson, and Asheville. It was a ton of fun to be a part of that, man. I really enjoy TV, especially when the subject is something interesting. How would you guys do this job today? Like, if you were me, what would be your philosophy? What would be your strategy? Ultimately, a hit in terms of radio is the intersection of where my interest meets your interest, right? My passion meets your passion. Where those two things overlap, you have a hit. I come on here and talk about whatever I want to talk about, right? Because then my job is to reach the highest number of you as possible, right? Like if yours truly, and I think I could speak even for Rob Brown when I say this, if we were talking about what we wanted to talk about, maybe an hour of the show, half the show might be soccer, really. Because that's my passion, that's Rob's passion. College football, soccer, NFL, all of those things are my passion. But, you know, I'm curious, if I asked that question of you guys, right, if you were tasked today with doing a four-hour show in the absence of live sports, what would you do? What would you come up with? What do you think would keep your audience engaged? It's what I'm trying to figure out right now on a daily basis. Coming up next, each and every day at this time, we do a little ditty called Either Or. Three options on life and sports. Either Or comes your way next, right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.